Welcome back to the second hour of the Global Research News Hour, coming to you from Montreal. This is Michel Chalcedovsky, your host. The Global Research News Hour is an initiative of globalresearch.ca at www.globalresearch.ca. We welcome to our program Professor Marjorie Cohen from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She's a distinguished jurist and author, president of the National Lawyers Guild, and her most recent book is The Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. Welcome to the program, Marjorie. Are you on the line?
I am, Michelle. How are you?
Very well. Very well. I'm talking to you from the icebox in Canada. It's snow out here. How are things in California?
Well, the weather is pretty good here in San Diego. It's a little chilly, but it should clear up.
Tell me, that's a very provocative title. I understand from your writings that you consider that the Bush administration has contributed to the derogation of some very fundamental principles of U.S. democracy, particularly the U.S. Constitution. How do you view that?
Well, I think they have. The most serious law-breaking by the Bush administration is the illegal war of aggression against the people of Iraq, in violation of the UN Charter, the torture of prisoners in U.S. custody, the war crimes and targeted assassinations and killing of civilians also violates the laws. What they're doing in Guantanamo by holding people, denying them habeas corpus, force-feeding them when they go on hunger strikes, is also illegal. The surveillance program that Bush enacted in early 2001 violates the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and the Fourth Amendment. And in the U.S. Constitution requires that the Congress pass the laws, and the President can either sign a law or veto it once Congress passes a bill. But what Bush does is to sign most of these laws and then to attach what are called signing statements to them, indicating his intention to disobey various parts of the laws that he doesn't agree with in violation of the Constitution's command that the executive faithfully execute the laws. And the list goes on and on and on. I limited my book to six ways they had violated the law, but there certainly are many, many more.
There are more than that. And you, I think in one of your recent articles, you refer to the Constitution of the United States by pointing to the fact that the Founding Fathers created three separate but co-equal branches of government to check and balance each other. And what you're saying essentially is that we're back in history where the executive, which you call him King George, referring to George Bush, I presume, we're back into a situation which is virtually that of the derogation of the powers of the judiciary and the U.S. Congress. Is that correct?
Yes, there are three separate co-equal branches of government in the U.S. Constitution: the executive, the judiciary, and the legislative. And James Madison, one of the founding fathers of the United States Republic, knew that when all power is concentrated in the same hands, that is the definition of tyranny, and the Founding Fathers were reacting against a police state, the police state of King George III, the British king. And then now, more than 200 years later, we have another King George, King George W. Bush, who seeks to amass all governing power in the same hands, in his hands and in Dick Cheney's hands.
We're going to commercial break, and we'll be back after the break with Professor Marjorie Cohen from the Thomas Jefferson Law School in San Diego, California.
Are you tired? tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
We are back with the Global Research News Hour. We're talking to Professor Marjorie Cohen. The Global Research News Hour is an initiative of globalresearch.ca. Our website is www.globalresearch.ca. Marjorie, I noticed in a recent article you have reviewed the issue of impeachment in relation to Vice President Dick Cheney, which I understand now is at the House Judiciary Committee. Would you like to elaborate on that? Is this I presume that this is a serious initiative since it emanates from 9 out of 23 Democratic members of the House Judiciary Committee in favor of starting impeachment hearings against Vice President Dick Cheney.
Well, Dennis Kucinich, who's a congressman, introduced three articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney, and there are now, I believe, 10 members of the House Judiciary Committee, I believe it's 10, Democratic members who favor impeachment, but there are 23 Democratic members. So I don't know that this is going to go very far, but these articles of impeachment, Articles 1 and 2, accuse Cheney of purposely manipulating the intelligence about the fabricated threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction in order to deceive Congress and the American people, and also manipulating intelligence, purposely manipulating intelligence to deceive about an alleged relationship between Iraq and al-Qaeda. The other article charges Cheney with openly threatening aggression against Iran, even though there's no real threat to the United States. And all three articles say that Cheney's actions have damaged our national security interests. So although there are 9 or 10 Judiciary Committee members that favor impeachment, I don't have a lot of confidence that, in fact, this is going to proceed, since Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has said that impeachment is off the table, and John Conyers, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, is agreeing with her as well.
But nonetheless, at the level of an understanding of the issues, this is a very important initiative, because when you pointed to the article referring to the fact that Dick Cheney has fabricated intelligence with a view to justifying a military agenda, and I know about your writings on Iran as well, and I think that is extremely dangerous. Because, in fact, the National Intelligence Estimate, which was published a few months back in December, says that Iran does not constitute a nuclear threat, does not have a nuclear weapons program, yet the Bush administration is saying, yes, it does have a nuclear weapons program, and we're going to bomb the hell out of them in retaliation to make the world safe. And Dick Cheney seems to be behind that type of initiative. So that do you think that the impeachment what are your personal views on the process of impeachment?
Well, the founding fathers knew that the executive would abuse his power and overstep, especially in times of war, which is why they put the impeachment power into the Constitution in several places. And the law-breaking, the impeachment is warranted if there are high crimes and misdemeanors. There's evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors by high government officials. The Republican-controlled Congress impeached President Clinton, and an impeachment just means bringing, if the House of Representatives votes for impeachment, then they bring an indictment, basically, to the Senate, and in the Senate, which is our other house of government, the other legislative house, can decide whether to convict or not. And Clinton was not convicted. He was impeached but not convicted for lying about sex under oath. And if you compare that to lying about the reasons for going to war and fabricating an illegal war and torture and illegal spying, that the lying about sex under oath pales in comparison.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's not exactly what the founding fathers had in mind when they introduced procedures to impeach a head of state, a president, in the abuse of his presidential powers. But this situation, as you point out in your book, there are many areas of abuse on the part of the executive, and one area which you've been looking into very carefully is the issue of torture applied to innocent people, using again the pretext of the war on terrorism, and ultimately with a view possibly to legalizing torture. What is the main issue behind these recent developments on the with regard to the torture or the application of torture?
Well, torture is always illegal under U.S. law. It's never allowed, even in times of war. And the Bush administration has recently announced its intention to try 6 alleged al-Qaeda members in these military commissions, which are war crimes courts at Guantanamo. The Military Commissions Act, which governs these trials, says that no evidence secured by torture shall be admissible. But evidence obtained by cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment is admissible if it was secured before December of 2005. This is the reason why the Attorney General Michael Mukasey refuses to say that waterboarding is torture, even though everyone knows it is. It goes back to the Spanish Inquisition. It's when someone is put on an incline board with his head facing, his head tilted down, his face is covered with a cloth, and water is poured into his nose and mouth until he drowns or almost drowns. And it's widely known as a torture technique. But Michael Mukasey knows that the Military Commissions Act will not admit evidence obtained by torture, and some of the evidence against some of these men was certainly obtained through waterboarding and other forms of torture. So that's one reason that Mukasey refuses to say waterboarding is torture, and the other is he knows that under the U.S. War Crimes Act, torture constitutes a war crime, and that there is evidence from these torture memos, and also there are statements by Colin Powell's former chief of staff, Lawrence Wilkerson, that the policies that resulted in the torture and abuse of prisoners emanated from the vice president's office. So Mukasey would, in effect, be calling Dick Cheney a war criminal.
How do you see the role of the Supreme Court? Would the U.S. Supreme Court have the ability or even the inclination to rectify these developments and restore the rule of law in America, or are they complicit with the Bush administration?
Well, the Supreme Court, if a case did reach the Supreme Court on the legality of torture to secure information, there is no guarantee at all that the Supreme Court would be able to rectify the situation of these abusive interrogations. One justice, Antonin Scalia, has already made statements in a BBC interview last week, defending the use of torture to extract information from prisoners in certain cases. He has said that it is extraordinary, that's his words, Scalia's words, extraordinary to assume that the U.S. Constitution's ban on cruel and unusual punishment also applies to, he said, so-called torture. Now, Scalia surely must know that under the U.S. torture statute and the U.S. War Crimes Act, that torture is illegal. Torture cannot be done, and yet it appears that he has prejudged any case that might come before him where the legality of torture was at issue. And therefore, the National Lawyers Guild, which is my organization, has called on Scalia to recuse himself or refuse to participate in any case that involves interrogation by torture, alleged torture. That a sitting justice of the United States Supreme Court, it's improper for him to make a statement in direct violation of U.S. law, and it means that he has prejudged any case that might come before him regarding the suppression of evidence or the right of compensation for illegal police interrogation techniques. So we have actually called on him to recuse himself from interrogation-related cases.
Now, assuming he recuses himself, would the composition of the Supreme Court allow for a decision on this issue, and how would this impact the Bush administration?
Well, first of all, Scalia will not recuse himself. There were also calls for him to recuse himself in the case where Dick Cheney was withholding information from his Secret Energy Task Force, and Scalia had been duck hunting with Cheney recently, and he refused to step down. But if he did, and nobody can make him recuse himself, every justice can decide for himself or herself. But if he did, I think that there is a majority of the Supreme Court that would uphold our laws banning torture. In fact, I think that majority, hopefully, would be there even if Scalia didn't recuse himself. Justice Kennedy is the swing vote on many of these issues now that Bush has appointed two real conservative right-wing justices, Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito.
I recall that this is not... Well, we'll be back in just a moment. We're going for a commercial break with Professor Marjorie Cohen after the break.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We're back with the Global Research News Hour coming to you from Montreal, www.globalresearch.ca. Our guest today is Professor Marjorie Cohen of the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego, California, and author of Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. Marjorie's website is www.marjoriecohen.com. You can also order her book directly from Amazon. Marjorie, there's one very important aspect which you have analyzed, and that is the Homeland Security Presidential Directive in the case of a so-called national emergency which the Bush administration has implemented. And that was, in fact, signed last May, but there have been other similar types of directives since then. In what sense does this National Security and Homeland Security Directive and similar measures also abolish the the basic tenets of the U.S. Constitution.
Well, Michelle, let me give you an example of, I think you might be talking about the Homegrown Terrorism, Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act, which was passed by the House of Representatives in October, but
correct.
Has not been passed by the Senate yet, which is puzzling to me because I thought the Senate would have passed it. But this is another act that the National Lawyers Guild has opposed. This particular act, which was proposed by a Democrat, would establish a commission to study basically thought crimes, extremist belief systems, and it is aimed ostensibly at ideologically based violence, but force and violence are used interchangeably. So, for example, if a group of people blocked the doorway of a company that manufactured weapons or blocked a sidewalk during an anti-war protest, that might constitute the use of force to promote political beliefs. And the other thing that this act would do is to target the Internet. It says the Internet has been used to facilitate violent radicalization and ideologically based violence. So this provision could be used to conduct more intrusive surveillance of Internet communications. The legislation does not actually criminalize conduct, but it could lead to the criminalization of ideas or beliefs, and that violates the First Amendment to the Constitution. And also, by targeting the Internet, it could result in increased surveillance of Internet communications in violation of the Fourth Amendment. The Bush administration has a pattern since 9/11 of ramming through Congress laws that would diminish our privacy and allow the government not just to monitor terrorists or alleged terrorists, but also to surveil people who dissent against government policies. And the Patriot Act is one such bill. The bill that's pending now in the House of Representatives is the amendments to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which would lower the standards for surveillance of American citizens as well as others. The big difference of opinion now, I should say, between the White House and the House of Representatives is whether or not to allow immunity, retroactive immunity, to the huge telecommunications companies, which have
right.
turned over data about our telephone calls and emails and Internet communications to the government. There are 40 lawsuits pending against AT&T and other big telecommunications companies, and that's the only way in the absence of any impeachment proceedings to hold the Bush administration accountable to its illegal surveillance for the last several years. And yet the Senate and Bush and some people are pushing immunity for these telecommunications companies. Fortunately, the House of Representatives has held firm until now, and we'll see what they do.
There's another, I think, very important issue which is related, and it's been discussed for quite a number of years now, which is the repeal of the Posse Comitatus Act. I'm not talking about the formal repeal of that act, but the fact that several of these pieces of legislation and directives could in fact lead to the militarization of law and law enforcement of the judicial system. How do you view that problem? Because I mean, essentially, if the Pentagon would, in the case of a national emergency, would be taking over functions which belong to civilian institutions, the Department of Justice and the FBI. Well, what is your reading on this situation?
Well, there was an executive order that was issued by Bush, which in effect repeals this Posse Comitatus Act, and which would allow Bush to take over and use the National Guard troops of the various states without the agreement of the state governors to restore order or in the event of some kind of emergency. And the wording is so general that it could actually be used, for example, if there were, you know, if traffic was stopped because of an anti-war demonstration, it allows him to declare martial law.
Marjorie, That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining our program. This is Global Research News Hour. Our guest, Marjorie Cohen. We'll be back after the break with a review of the press and current events with my co-host, Stephen Lenman.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
We're back on the air with the Global Research News Hour, which is coming to you from Montreal, Canada. Our website is www.globalresearch.ca. In the last part of the program, we're joined by my co-host in Chicago, Stephen Lenman. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, I am, Michelle. Yeah,
good. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. The time just flies by.
The time flies by. How are things in Chicago?
Well, it's a little chilly today.
Yeah, well, we're chilly up here in Canada
being
as well.
Down in Florida.
Yes. Stephen, I think that there's been one very crucial event in the news in the last few days. It seems quite distant from the concerns of Americans, but it's Kosovo. Because in Kosovo on Sunday, yesterday, which is a province of Serbia, Kosovo declared its independence. And the European Union sent in a military police mission taking over from the United Nations, and essentially with a new addition of troops, it wasn't actually well discussed in the, you know, in the press reports, but there's an additional 1,000 British troops which have been sent to Kosovo and another 1,000 experts from the United States, which I presume many will be security advisors and members of security and mercenary companies. And so that we're in a situation where this province has declared independence, and there's some very uncomfortable aspects of this whole crisis. How do you view it?
Oh, it's something that really resonates with me, Michelle. I have not written specifically about Kosovo, but I tend to get obsessed that since Bill Clinton's war of aggression against Serbia in 1999 and then Bush's first war against Afghanistan, I think those two wars, too many progressives saw those as good things. And I think you've quoted some of the people, and I think I've quoted a couple along the way myself. And people have no idea that these were as illegal acts as anything we've done in Iraq, anything that people get obsessed about. And they don't know that Kosovo exists. They have no idea what's going on in Serbia. It's really incredible. And then the Kosovo Parliament, what did they issued a declaration of independence yesterday?
Well, the Kosovo Parliament has issued a declaration of independence, but the thing is, but I've been following this for quite some time, the thing is that the Kosovo Prime Minister is known to have links to organized crime. Okay. In fact, all three of the last prime ministers, we're talking about the province of Kosovo, which is part of Serbia. So not only is this an illegal declaration of independence of a province within a country, and the government is being supported by NATO, the UN, the European Union, the United States, but the guys running the show in the Kosovo government are linked to criminal syndicates, all three of the last prime ministers. And this is known and documented. They protect the drug trade, which transits through Kosovo and Albania. They're involved in smuggling. They are known as well as war criminals, going back to the late 90s when the current prime minister was commander of a paramilitary group called the Kosovo Liberation Army, and everybody actually recognizes, even the U.S. administration will say, yes, these guys are criminals, but we have to turn a blind eye to that because they are in favor of autonomy for the Albanian majority of Kosovo. So that's the kind of situation that we're currently in.
Well, of course, Michelle, they're in favor of surrendering their sovereignty. They're part of Serbia. The strip off Kosovo would be like stripping off Illinois and creating a new country. I mean, it's absolutely unimaginable. But we love them because they're our kind of guys. They're willing to surrender their authority and be a U.S./NATO/EU colony. For all the nefarious things you're talking about, including building pipelines, and it's also a giant military base. The U.S. I think at one time the U.S. had its largest military base, Camp Bondsteel, there. I imagine there are two or three or more in Iraq that are even bigger now. But this giant base.
Apparently, that was the largest U.S. military base built since the Vietnam War. It's an absolutely enormous structure. It's there to protect something. It's there to establish a U.S. Sphere of influence in southeastern Europe. And then, of course, there are pipelines. And there are pipelines that go from the Black Sea to the Adriatic and which cross Bulgaria, Macedonia and Albania, and Macedonia is just on the border with Kosovo, so that in effect this militarization of southeastern Europe is there to protect pipeline routes, and those pipeline routes, they tie in also with the Middle East, so it's all of this is very much related the wars in Yugoslavia, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan. Now, there's another important development which I find, and it goes back to December when NATO, as you might recall, Stephen, NATO issued a very controversial report which is entitled Towards a Grand Strategy for an Uncertain World, Renewing Transatlantic Partnership. Now, this particular document, which is authored by a number of former chiefs of staff, including General John Chalikashvili, U.S., and various, and also Field Marshal Lord Inger of the United Kingdom, what they call for in this very controversial report is to use nuclear weapons on a preemptive basis. And they say, and it sounds absolutely diabolical, they say we have to use nuclear weapons to protect the Western way of life and to ensure that there's no nuclear war. Okay? So it sounds crazy.
I mean, that sounds like something... Oh my goodness! I'm trying to think. We're really out of an old TV program. I can't think of the name. I mean, something imaginary. I mean, you can't write real life stuff like this. This can only be something created fictionally. That's what it sounds like. We wanted the Vietnam era where the officer was quoted saying we had to destroy the village to save it. I mean, it's that kind of philosophy.
Well, I think that's really what's happening. In fact, this report is very much a copy and paste of Pentagon doctrine, because in effect the preemptive nuclear war doctrine has been around for quite a while. I mean, they're saying yes, let's go ahead and use nuclear weapons, and then they have a whole bunch of scientists. The Pentagon has a whole bunch of scientists saying that the new generation of tactical nuclear weapons are safe for civilians, but which is a lie. But in fact, what they don't do is they don't discuss even the issue of radiation and the fact that the use of a nuclear weapon would trigger a nuclear holocaust. What is disturbing, both with the NATO approach as well as with the Pentagon approach, is that the nuclear weapon is essentially presented as a humanitarian bomb, which is there to make the world safer. We are really in a crazy world.
Oh, it's an upside-down world, and you and I both want to have on a future program a woman who's done so much on this, on the nuclear issue, military and commercial, Helen Caldicott. And she can go into this subject and take a technical subject and make people understand it and get them to have their skin crawl to think about the potential things that can happen that can explode into a nuclear holocaust, as you say, and end up destroying the planet.
Yeah, I think the irony of the whole context of these nuclear weapons is the fact that since 2003, the Bush administration has been pointing at Iran, and they're saying Iran is the threat. They have a nuclear weapons program. They're going to come in and bomb the hell out of us. Or, in fact, what they're saying is that Osama bin Laden now is a nuclear power. And, in fact, I mean, it sounds absurd, but Osama bin Laden has nuclear bombs. It's going to come and bomb us. And so, consequently, we should use our nuclear weapons against these alleged nuclear powers. But now the nuclear... The National Intelligence Estimate, which was published in December, states quite emphatically that as of September 2003, Iran does not constitute a nuclear threat, and there's no evidence of Iran possessing nuclear weapons capabilities or even having the desire to develop a nuclear weapons program. And so that the National Intelligence Estimate published in September, well, it was published in December 2007, but it's based on intelligence which was available in September 2003 and which was communicated to the White House and the Pentagon and most probably to NATO, so that these guys have known for the last, what, 5 years, almost 5 years, that Iran is not a nuclear threat, but they have built their military agenda precisely on the assumption that Iran is a nuclear threat, so that we're in a situation where that is being used again as a pretext to wage a war of conquest. Iran has 10% of the global reserves of oil and natural gas, and that's five times the reserves of the United States of America. So again, this is part of the conquest of oil resources.
It's so frightening, Michelle. The only way they can get the U.S. public to go along with stuff is, number one, the public is so hopelessly uninformed. Number two, you do it by scaring the devil out of them. You could create a devil out of Santa Claus and make him look like an ominous creature. Then everybody would hate Santa Claus. We've got to get rid of this guy. He's coming down from the heavens to destroy us. I mean, it's incredible that the stuff that people believe, whether it's a destroyed Iraq after the Gulf War or the Soviet Union after World War II that was flat on its back for probably a decade and a half or longer, couldn't possibly attack anybody, certainly didn't want to, wanted to rebuild the country, not fight another war after the horrible one they just went through. Any country that we want to pick, North Korea, little North Korea, my goodness, what on earth could North Korea do to anybody? South Korea wants to get along with them, but we won't allow them to do that. So we pick the ones that act independently. I guess that's the greatest sin, Michelle.
But I think as you suggest, it's not so much that the American public is gullible, but the fact that the American public is misinformed by the U.S. media and that what is published in the printed press and what is presented on network television is, to put it mildly, a misrepresentation of the truth. So the truth is twisted upside down, the news is fabricated, and then we're led to believe that Al Qaeda is going to bomb America. They're even talking about an American Hiroshima, okay? They're saying that Bin Laden, of course, Bin Laden is a creation of the CIA, so that, and that's, of course, never mentioned in any of these reports.
That's such a key thing, and you've done more work on this than anybody, Bin Laden and Al Qaeda. I'll call them by any names you want. These were CIA creations. They're not agents. But they became CIA assets without really knowing they were CIA assets. But they were serving our purposes, and as you point out, they likely still are without really knowing what their role is. But, well, they serve us as bad guys. That role alone is a very effective role to scare the U.S. public.
Well, of course, that is their main role, is that Bin Laden is viewed as the bad guy, and that the United States is waging a war against Bin Laden. Of course, nobody actually does any kind of review as to who is Bin Laden. He was recruited by the CIA back in 79-80 during the Soviet-Afghan War. He worked for the CIA covert operation in sending the Mujahideen, the Islamic brigades, to wage Uncle Sam's war against the Soviet Union, and those ties have never been severed. So yes, it is the fiction of this outside enemy, its fear, its intimidation, and it's transforming the enemy into the enemy, let's say Iran or Iraq, into the aggressors, and it's presenting America as being under attack when in fact, as we know, the United States is involved in major theater operations together with its allies, both in Iraq and Afghanistan. But I think what bothers me in this whole thing is that whereas the United States has a a military budget, including defense spending, of the order of $1 trillion, bin Laden seems to be operating with his Kalashnikov and his Stinger missiles, okay?
It's like
they call that asymmetric warfare. But I don't understand how, with all this military might, these Air Force carriers and fighter jets and so on, they can't actually find the guy.
Well, I think we'd agree that the reason they don't, if he's alive, I mean, who knows, he's not a well man, but if he's alive, I'm sure the reason we don't find him is because he's much more valuable on the loose than if we pick him up. If we pick him up, he needs to be replaced.
Right. Well, you know, there's one aspect of this whole discussion, and it goes back to Kosovo, because when I started investigating Kosovo back in the mid to late 90s, there was evidence, and that was true in Bosnia as well, there was evidence of Al-Qaeda, bin Laden's Al-Qaeda, working hand-in-glove with the Kosovo Liberation Army, which now forms the civilian government. They were linked up to organized crime, and they were also collaborating with the CIA and the U.S. military. We'll be back in a moment. This is Global Research News Hour with Michel Chossadovsky and Stephen Lenman after the break.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, Collodial Silver, Olive Leaf Extract, Oregano Oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
We're back with the Global Research News Hour with Michel Chossadovsky and Stephen Lenman. And this is our final few minutes focusing on international news. It's Mondays, 11 to 1 o'clock Central Time, the Global Research News Hour.
Michelle, can I add a comment to that, which I think is important? We both agree that the need for vital information, truthful information, on the most important cutting-edge world and national topics is really more essential now than ever with the dire threats that we face to literally human survival. And the Global Research News Hour, based on the work of the Center for Global Research, your work, Michelle, and your great website that you established, globalresearch.ca, is really dedicated to putting out the most important information on these key issues. And this program, every week, every Monday for 2 hours, will feature noted guests. You, Michelle, and I will roughly alternate, depending on your travel schedule, and we'll bring on noted guests who can really talk very authoritatively about these important subjects and provide the kind of information to listeners that's impossible in the mainstream. They just can't get it. It doesn't exist.
Well, that's absolutely true. We're very lucky. We've got some very outstanding writers and analysts who contribute to our website on a very frequent basis, including Stephen Lendman, who has just come out with a very incisive article on the relationship between the Venezuelan government of Chavez and ExxonMobil, and that's also another aspect. It's linked up with the oil agenda of the Bush administration and the big Texas oil conglomerates.
Michelle, you're a superstar. When people think that maybe I'm more than what I know I am, I say something like, I want them to know who I am and what I am, and I describe myself as a mere mortal. I'm a mere mortal. I'm just very impassioned
about this. We're all mere mortals, Stephen, but you're a fabulous analyst of international affairs. So in any event, let's get back to Bin Laden? We've got about two and a half minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
To go.
Bin
Laden is still central. I mean, he's so central to our understanding of what's going on, because as long as people think that Bin Laden is attacking America, is involved in the 9/11 attacks and so on, that he's the bogeyman, we won't have, first of all, that is the main justification of all the actions of the Bush administration, both at home and abroad. It's the homeland security agenda, it's the war agenda. So Bin Laden is going to be somebody, we won't invite him on the show, but we'll be talking about him.
And along with Bin Laden, that you've written so much about, Michelle, the myth of a war on terror. There's no war on terror.
There's no war on terror. Yeah,
there is a war on terror.
But it surprisingly, it sounds very understandable that there is no war on terror. There's a war of conquest. There's a war for oil. There's a whole agenda.
There's a war of state terror. Absolutely, a war of state terror.
We're at the end of our program. So this is Michelle Chosadovsky in Montreal and Stephen Lendman in Chicago. Goodbye for now. We'll be on the air next week at 11 o'clock Central Time, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Goodbye, everybody in Texas and around America and around the world.
Come back and join us, please.